the children. Lauren, what song would you like to sing? Do you have a special song? Which one?
Number one.
Number one? Okay, thank you. Well, I'll ask someone to start them. I don't care who starts them, but just so someone does. Of whom we read, who lived in days of old. Though he was rich, he felt his need of something more than gold. Oh yes, there's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold. It happened on a certain day, this little man was told, that Jesus soon would pass that way with something more than gold. Oh yes, there's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold. He climbed a tree above the cross that he might behold that blessed one with power to give him something more than gold. Oh yes, there's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold. The Savior came along the way and saw him in the tree. Then calling to him, Jesus said, I must abide with thee. Oh yes, there's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold. So he obeyed, and soon he found the half had not been told. The blessing Jesus brought to him was better far than gold. Oh yes, there's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold.
Lots of things more important than gold and more valuable than gold too, but this is the most wonderful thing. To know your sins are all forgiven, that's better far than gold. Anyone else have a song they'd like to sing? Okay, I'm going to count on Daddy to tell me.
Yes, I know it's your favorite.
Jesus Loves, which is that? Which song? 33? Okay. Number 33.
Little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world.
Okay. Another choice. Some of the bigger children. Okay. Carter, number three. Okay. Number three.
On the sea it was a pretty sight. It sailed along so pleasantly, and all was calm and bright. The sun was sinking in the west, the shore was near at hand, and and those on board with hearts at rest ought soon to reach the land. When lo, a storm began to rise, a wind grew loud and strong. He blew the clouds across the skies, and blew the waves along. And all but one were sore afraid of sinking in the deep. His head was on a pillow laid, and he was fast asleep. Master, we perish, Master, save, they cried, their master. He rose, rebuked the wind and waves, and stilled them with a word. He to the storm said, peace be still, the raging billow cease. The mighty winds obey his will, and all are hushed in peace. They greatly wondered, so may we, and asked as well as they, who could this glorious person be, whom winds and seas obey? Well, we know it was the Lord, the Savior and the Friend, whose care of those who trust his word will never, never end.
I had a funny thought in singing these songs. down in the States, we don't like to wait for anything. We like keep going, and when we were singing, he climbed a tree above the crowd. We would have had that line sung at home. We don't wait between verses. And I thought, well, maybe they're like me, they're just catching their breath before they climb this tree. I don't know, but then I found out, no, you do things a little more properly here and take your time. Verses. We'll sing one more song. Twenty-eight. Okay, thank you.
Jesus bids us shine with the pure, clear light. Like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine first of all for him. Well, he sees and knows it if our light grows dim. He looks down from heaven to see us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus bids us shine next for all around. Many kinds of darkness in this world abound. In this world and sorrow, so we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine.
Let's pray. Our God and Father, we ask as we open thy word, thou would open our ears and that we might hear thee. We ask thy help and blessing, Father, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I'm reading presently in my home reading in Exodus, and I guess the Lord knew I was going to be here this afternoon. So I was reading in Exodus chapter 10. I like to turn there. And I don't... doesn't exactly talk about my granddaughters, but in a way it does. And in a way, I guess right now, I'm going to adopt all you others. You're not going to get out of it. So I'm going to pretend like I'm your grandpa tonight, this afternoon. And Exodus 10 kind of surprised me when I was reading it this morning last week. And here's what it says, Exodus 10. The Lord said unto Moses, and yeah, I was wondering if when you read the Bible, and I was talking to Joshua yesterday, and he has a longing, earnest desire that God would speak to him. And he knew that God had spoken to Moses, and he knew that God even talked to Adam and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He knew God talked to Enoch, and he said, God, I want you to talk to me. Well, I said, you know, there he does talk to us. The difference between us and them is he's written us this big letter, and he said everything in this book, the Bible, that we need to know. And so when you open the Word of God, you can put your name there. The Lord said unto Henry, you can put your name there. Every time you open the Word of God, that's the way you should open it. What is the Lord going to tell me when I read this passage? And so I read that morning, the Lord said unto me, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. And I thought, oh, Lord, that wasn't fair. You're sending Moses in to the king of Egypt, the most mighty man in the world at that time. And you've made his heart angry at me, and you've stiffened his heart and made things, it was already difficult enough for Moses, you know, all those plagues, the dog flies and the lightnings and the diseases and the blood and all these things that he had really upset Pharaoh already. And Pharaoh hardened his heart, and now God says, I want you to go into him, and I've hardened his heart. Now, that'd be kind of discouraging, wouldn't it, if the Lord said to you sometime, you know, I'd like you to talk to Susie or Bill about the Lord, and I've hardened their heart, so they're not going to be very happy with you when you come to talk to them. And I thought, well, Lord, this is no way to encourage. This is not the way I would encourage a servant. Oh, and I'd say, you know, go talk to him like Philip. And, you know, the Lord said, you go down there in the desert because there's a man down there I want you to talk to, and that man got saved. But here the Lord says, Moses, you go in there, and I've hardened his heart for you. And already Pharaoh had gotten angry at Moses and threatened him and told him, I don't ever want to see you again. And here he hardens his heart, and he tells Moses, you go on in there. And I've hardened the heart of his servants too. And then he says this, that I might show these my signs before him. But here's the verse that really got to me, and what made me think about my life and things in my life. It says, and beside that, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son, that's your grandchildren, what things I have wrought in Egypt. Oh, now I understand. You know, all these things in my life gone wrong. Here I thought it was for my sake, and all it's for is so I'll have something to tell my grandchildren of why I had such a hard time in this world. And I thought, wow, can that be? And I read again, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt. You know, the Lord loves it when older and young folks talk together. And I don't know, there was something, always been something wrong with me, but I always gravitated to old folks. And I still do. There's three older sisters come out Lord's Day, and I always go back to them, and I said, you know, I like to be here because it's the only place in the meeting that I feel like a younger brother. So I like to be with older folks. Well, they've contributed to my life, they profited. When I was saved, I was 23 years old, and I gravitated to the older brethren. And they were my fathers. They were my spiritual fathers. And they taught me something. You know what they taught me? They said, Henry, you can trust the Lord. You know, sometimes I didn't. I never occurred to me that they could be wrong. That was a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord said, the Lord didn't say it. He knew they could be wrong, but I didn't know they could be wrong. And everything they said, that's good enough for me. And so they would tell stories of their life that the Lord had done for them and encourage me. Well, I said, someday, I remember very early in my Christian life, the first year of my Christian life, this is the way I want to go. I want to live my life trusting the Lord. Brother Brown did. Brother McMillan did. Brother that led me to the Lord, Ron Reeves, he did. He's really encouraged me. You can trust the Lord. And with Brother Ron, one day he was married, and at that time I think he just had one son. I went over to visit him. He lived at 2801 East Lyon Street. And it was a small house, and the floors were crooked, and things were rotting down and falling apart. And he worked, you know what he did for a living right then at that time? He drove a delivery truck for Jay's Bakery. And I really saw a lot around. I was very close to him. He really encouraged me. He brought me to the Lord. He encouraged me in the path of faith. And we were talking. He talked about when he was in college. I said, Ron, you were in college? Oh, yeah, he said, I don't look like it, do I? No. And not only was he in college, he had graduated from college, and he had graduated with a degree in chemistry. Well, I didn't know a lot, but those two things didn't seem driving a bakery truck and graduating from Drake University as a chemist. I couldn't put it together. But I learned that he had a job. I think they closed up the factory. They made aircraft things, and they closed it up, and he couldn't find a job as a chemist in Des Moines. Then he went down to San Antonio, and he got a job down there, and he got in car accidents. He wanted to go down there to minister to the Spanish element down in San Antonio, and he had got boils down there, and he had all kinds of difficulty. And one day he got hit by a car in a car accident. He came home. He said to his wife, honey, I think we should go back to Des Moines. She said, you know, wives make good, kind moms, and they make good, kind sisters, but they don't always kind wives. And she said, I wonder how long it would take you to make that decision. And so they came back. But he encouraged me, and then the Lord took these fathers out of my life, and one by one, and sometimes I get a little scared because whose faith follow, but I confessedly didn't have the faith that they did, the same measure of faith. But he always out on the limb, and you don't go back, and I would get a little bit afraid, and you know what, I would remember what my fathers told me about their trust in the Lord. And I said, Lord, Mr. Brown made it all the way till he died. Mr. McMillan made it all the way to his die. These brethren were sustained all the way to the end of their life, and I'm going to be too, and encourage me to go on trusting the Lord. And so grandpas, the Lord allows things in their lives so they can tell their children and their grandchildren, the Lord helped me. The Lord helped me this way. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. The Lord helped me. You know, I don't have any stories about, well, not like Conrad's stories, but I have stories that are pretty big to me. I was cutting a tree down. I'm no woodsman. I didn't know a chainsaw from a bucksaw when I got my chainsaw, but I knew I had trees to cut down. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I started cutting this tree down, a big tree, and it tilted back on me, and it pinched my saw, and it was more than halfway through, and standing straight up, my saw was stuck in the tree, And what am I going to do? Well, I did the only thing I knew what I could do safely. I went into the house and I said, Lord, my saw is out there stuck in the tree. The tree's going to fall over on the neighbor kids when they come and kill them. And I can't get this tree down. But the Lord knew that. Do you think he didn't know my saw was stuck in the tree? But he wanted me to tell him that. It's like in the book of Acts, you know, they forbid the disciples to preach in the name of Jesus. And they went and they prayed and they said, Lord, they've told us not to preach in your name. You think the Lord didn't know that? He knew that. But he knows your problems and he knows your difficulties in life. But he likes to hear you say, you know, Lord, it isn't that dumb chainsaw, isn't that dumb tree, isn't the dumb wind. Well, you can figure out who was dumb. Okay, so I prayed and I went out and my chainsaw was on the ground, the tree was on the ground, and I was okay. Then, you know, in those days, family didn't have, this family didn't have two or three cars. And you go to meeting, half of our life is meeting nights. That's just it. Half of our nights. And so come Saturday, and all day Lord's Day is meeting. Saturday is, of course, the only day you have off to do whatever you want to do. But after you fix the plumbing and paint the walls and do the lists that your wife needs, you can do whatever you want after you get all these things done. Well, of course, sometimes the car needed repair. This one Saturday, and it always happens on Saturdays, I was going to put brakes on my car. And we had a long 9-10 miles from the nearest car parts, and it's late in the afternoon by the time I got them all hooked up, and then you go in and you get your wife, because you need your wife, because she has to pump the brakes so you can bleed them, you know, you got to bleed the brakes. And I knew which ones to go first, and I bled one, wheel cylinder. Fine. Bled two. That went fine too. Bled three, and I only have one left. And of course, my wife just loved that job. She didn't have anything better to do. And she just loved to be hearing me say, pump, hold. And she would pump when she's supposed to be holding, or hold when she's supposed to be pumping. But anyway, here came to the last one. The bleed valve was froze. Well, that's no big problem. You can always get some bigger pressure on it, but you also know if you break it, no car parts, no car to drive, you don't go to meeting tomorrow, you don't do anything. So I knew one thing I could do. I crawled out from under the car and just went back in the house. I went in. I prayed, so we'll go out and try again. No, I went out and crawled under there, and that bleed valve was so loose I could turn it with my fingers. And to this day, I don't know. I think probably it wasn't a miracle. I think I probably had a wrench on the body part instead of the valve part. I don't know, but the Lord helped me. And I could tell you, same thing with our well and stuff. Saturday night always happened when you didn't need water or anything like that. Always happened then. It would go out. And so the Lord comes in, and you can trust him. And you can trust him in everyday life. And so these dads, they were to tell their sons and their grandchildren what the Lord had done for them. And that was a responsibility they had. And there was a reason for it. And here's the reason. He said, thou mayest tell the ears of thy son and the son's sons what things I have brought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. That's our whole life lesson. Our whole life lesson is that we might learn that He is the Lord. If we don't learn that in our life, if you don't really get out of this school, but the phone rings yesterday, and I usually hang up when I hear a computer voice on the phone, but I didn't this time, and they said, well, this United Airlines, we're very pleased to tell you that your flight's canceled, but we've been able to reschedule you. That was really wonderful news. No, sometimes your wife gets upset too when things like that happen. But I said, honey, you know, I do think the Lord has something to do with this, and I think somebody else has something to do with it too, but we won't say that. Okay, but if you can't take little things from the Lord, you're in big trouble, because you're going to have to take big things from the Lord. And if you can't, if you put anybody between you and the Lord, you're in trouble. Just treat your life that way. There are no second causes in your life. If something happens to you, the Lord is saying, the Lord spoke to Moses. And the Lord is talking to you all your days and all your life, and He talks to you in different ways. And don't ever let anyone get between you and the Lord. Well, it was to teach the children of Israel and their children and their children's children that He is the Lord. And like I say, my fathers did that. My spiritual fathers did that. They told me, you know, you can trust the Lord. And I believed them. And when I would get discouraged, I think, oh no, I know. And you know, a few of you know Brother Brown. And he was a little tiny guy, real thin little guy, probably 110 pounds. And I would think, you know, but I was a pretty strong guy. I thought, well, if the Lord could take care of him, He can take care of me. And He can. And He can take care of you. And that you might learn that the Lord is God. Well, you know, they didn't do this. They didn't tell their children. I'd like to go to the book of Jeremiah. And we see that they were supposed to do this. I think it's Jeremiah chapter 2. And they didn't do it. The dads didn't do it. I don't know why. I think the main reason why is because the dads got away from the Lord and they didn't know. They didn't know the Lord. And they didn't know that the Lord was doing things in their lives. And they didn't have a reference point in the Lord. They just were going their ways and took up with other idols and things like that. And so they didn't apparently talk about that anymore. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, it says, this is what the Lord communicated to them now after years and they departed from the Lord. And the Lord says to them, moreover, through Jeremiah, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Again, remember, when you read the scriptures, God is talking to you. And read it that way. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. Think of the Lord saying that to you. You know, I really look back in your life. Some of us are older. The Lord looked back and He said, you know, I remember the kindness of your youth and the love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. That is, they loved the Lord so much. And they said, let's go. The Lord is out there like Peter on the stormy seas. If that's the Lord, that's where I want to be. And when I look back and I see that in my life, as I said, I was saved when I was 23. I started going to a little Pentecostal church Sunday and Wednesday. I went to the reading meetings on Tuesday. Once in a while, I go Thursday. Friday night, I go. Either I get on the phone, call Mr. Brown, go talk to him or something. And then Saturday, I might be at Youth for Christ. But I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And anyway, Mr. Brown took me under his wing as before I was gathered, and he nurtured me along. One day, I got saved on my birthday, January 26th. It was 1 week after I got a job, a big paying job. I got, so if you want to complain, you young guys, I had a big paying job. I made $55 a week. And my boss said, don't tell anybody, because we were supposed to start you at $52.50 and we made a mistake. Well, the Lord knew I need that $250. That was the big money. And I had this job for a whole week, and I got saved, and I didn't see anything wrong with the job. It was not big pay, but I thought it was okay. I got saved, and I wanted to be saved. I told the guy who was looking for a job for me, you know, at the before I saved, he gave me an aptitude test, and this is really good, too. He decided the only job that fit my aptitude that he offered me, he said, the only thing we got for an aptitude like yours is there's a big church on the west side that needs a janitor. Well, I didn't want to do that. And I told him, you know, sir, till I'm a Christian, it isn't going to be right. And he looked at me strangely, but I knew that much. I knew until I was a Christian, cleaning the church wasn't going to help me any. I know I got this job, and I got saved. And Mr. Bowen said to me one day, Henry, what do you plan to do? I thought, I didn't say this to him, but I thought, that's a crazy question. I got a job, and I'm saved. And he's asking me, what am I going to do? All I want to do is please the Lord, and I didn't see I had to do anything else to do that. Well, he was talking about making plans for my life, which I never did, as my family knows. And this is all I had before me was to please the Lord. So I thought I had to tell him something. I thought, well, I did think maybe about going to Moody Bible School. And he says to me, you know, Henry, I was going to the young people's meetings there that he taught on Friday, every other Friday, and he said, most of the folks at the young people's meeting, they know more about the Bible than most Moody graduates. And, well, that was pretty hard to swallow, but I knew if Mr. Brown said it, it was right. So anyway, that was the espousals of my youth. Nothing meant anything to me but to follow the Lord. And that goes, and the Lord looks, and he said, you know, I remember that. But then things got away from the Lord. And sometimes the way gets a little weary. And then down in verse 5 of Jeremiah 3:2, it says, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me and have walked after the vanity and are become vain? That's quite a question, isn't it? My grandchildren and my children, God would ask them this question now. What did Grandpa find wrong with me that he left me? That's quite a question, isn't it? You see, if we refer everything to the Lord, everything in your life, the Lord is the reference point. When you make a change, you're leaving him. You're forgetting that he has ordered your life. He has ordered the circumstances of your life. And so when you won't accept it from him, you're going away. And Jeremiah was to say, what did your grandpa find wrong with me that caused him to go away from me? What did dad find wrong with me that caused him to go away from me? If the Lord is the object of your life, you're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be. Now, I mentioned my brother's letter. He's now saved and professed atheist. And he said, I know, little brother, that it's because he weighs more than me. that I don't know if he called me little brother. He usually does. I know you'd be disappointed. And my wife said no. Because I had 10 or 12 letters written to him. I didn't have any of them written, but she said, no, honey, no. But I wanted to write so bad and say, no, Ken, I'm not disappointed in you because the book that you call a book of myth, it told me what you were going to say. It said the fool said there's no God. And the Bible already told me, why should I be disappointed in you? But I didn't write that. I won't write that either. But you see, we need the Lord. We need the Lord as a reference point. And if that is true, any deviation in your life is away from the Lord. Well, it happened, and then it says, remember they were supposed to tell their sons and their grandsons? It says, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? They forgot the Lord that brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they weren't talking about him. They didn't even say, where is he? It just wasn't in their mind. And so they failed to communicate the path of faith to those who were coming on, to give a clear delineation of it so those coming on behind wouldn't stumble in the pathway. And I'd like to close in chapter 23 and now we talk about the children and the grandchildren. Now, a word for you. We had a little word for us. In chapter 23, he speaks about the pastors that destroy the shepherds, that scatter the sheep. And there they are, the pastors that feed my feeble people. You've scattered my flock and driven them away. Have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And so we have to recognize and own that we who are older and responsible, we really haven't done much of a job here. And so you might feel like you're younger and everything's scattered and it is not very much of anything left. But the Lord says, verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them. So we never without the resource of the Lord. You feel scattered, you feel lonely, feel isolated. The Lord said, well, I'm the shepherd. I'm not a failing shepherd. You know, your fathers, they found some fault in me and went away, but there's no fault in the Lord. And the Lord is that good shepherd. And if he is your reference point in life, take everything from him and everything to him. You'll be safe. And so he said he's going to gather this flock. And then in verse 4 it says, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, neither be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, or it could be translated, neither shall any be missing, saith the Lord. They were talking about the rapture and the great thrill that it's going to be caught up together, and neither shall any be missing. I love to think about it. I've been on the road long enough to know that sometimes brothers don't get along with each other. And know what I love to think about? I'm not going to give any names. I love to think about Brother X and Brother Y, who just didn't seem to be able to get along. They're up there, arms in arms, singing praises to the Lord. And there's not going to be one of us missing in that day. And we're all going to be there together, and the Lord's going to gather us together. But down in verse 7, for you younger ones, there's something wonderful here, because now the Lord said, I don't want you to talk about getting saved out of Egypt. He says, therefore, behold, the days shall come, days come, saith the Lord, they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He said, I don't want you to talk about that anymore. Here's what I want you to talk about now. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, that they may dwell in their own land. And so, young friends, I've had a good life. Uneventful. I think, you know, sometimes if the Lord, we had it, he doesn't break a bruised reed, he doesn't quench a smoked flax, and when you're in that feeble condition, you avoid a lot of heavy burdens, because the Lord knows if he puts something serious on you, you're going to collapse, and so he leaves those things for stronger people. But we get scattered, things look pretty dark, the Lord is there, and he's going to give you a fuller, happier song even than we who've gone before, because you have new circumstances, and I think they're more difficult circumstances, certainly. But to be able to sing with that little remnant that he gathers out, that the Lord has brought us out of the north country, the adverse country, that was a greater, richer, fuller, happier song than your fathers and your grandpas got to sing when they said, he brought us out of the land of Egypt. And so there was, you've got a wonderful, full, glorious opportunity before you if you make the Lord the reference point in your life. The darker it is, the more glorious is the Lord to your soul. And so, well, just go on with the Lord. Take everything to the Lord, everything from the Lord, and you'll be safe. If you can't do that, just go from one trouble to another trouble. It's true, but refer everything to the Lord, every circumstance to the Lord. He is able, and someday you'll be able to join those courts in heaven and saying, the Lord has brought us out of the north country, and it's, we got there because of our unfaithfulness, but because of the faithfulness of the Lord, he drew us out of the north country. And sometimes I think, you know, you can almost think, well, what is there to sing about? Oh, there's everything to sing about. The Lord has not changed. Our circumstances only enable us to prove him in a fuller way if we have everything in reference to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we